We're back on the Rule of Three. Two comics, three topics, 10 minutes each. The perfect podcast for your modern lifestyle. We are going to be talking in another episode about the Game of Thrones. So you got a spoiler alert. Don't listen to the third episode. That's when we'll be talking about Game of Thrones. We'll also be talking about Brian's trip to see the Path of Totality.
I seen the eclipse.
But the first topic, of course, the one that's on everyone's mind, and prayers and good wishes or whatever you do, go out to the people of Houston, who are now in the middle of a apocalyptic disaster. As you know, watching the television, that there's been a bit of a hurricane stalled right over Houston. Now we're in day four of the hurricane, and it does not look good. It seems that this is going to be ironically, I think a lot of people from Katrina moved to Houston.
Yeah, Katrina. That's a tough pull. Oh.
So it's don't know where they're gonna go now. It's I wouldn't want them living next door, because they might have brought their voodoo with them.
You know, in a Jaws 4, The Revenge, after the son gets eaten by the shark, Ellen Brody has enough of it. She moves down to the Bahamas, and there's a scene of the shark following the plane from the ocean.
What's most amazing to me about that is that you actually saw Jaws 4.
Oh, multiple times.
I never watched more than one.
Oh, really? Oh, I just rewatched Jaws 3 a month and a half ago.
That was Jaws 3D. That's what that was. That's anyway.
Speaking of
we're getting
watery
off topic.
Disasters,
getting off topic. Levels. There's also a crisis, I'm sure, in the newsrooms of America. Because they're desperately trying to find a way to tie this onto the president.
I have not seen that much of that.
They haven't figured out how. That's all.
I think they're just covering the flood. And I think the president, for once, has not done anything too stupid yet. I mean, he hasn't done anything great, but he hasn't done anything stupid. I mean, see, everything I've read, I've actually been doing a lot of reading about this. You know, the biggest criticisms right now are being lobbied between the governor and the mayor. And then basically some people from the outside are judging people, some people, for not calling for an evacuation. What's interesting is that Houston is a giant, flat, featureless plain. So I was reading about the, you know, it floods quite easily. It is. It floods very easily.
No. It's literally and metaphorically.
Yeah. I mean, it's it's got its merits, question mark, but it's big. It's not below sea level like New Orleans, but it's prone to flooding because it's big and it's flat, and sometimes they frequently actually they get a lot of rain. They'll have a day or two where they have big rains. This is obviously off the charts, but what they began to do, they made an active point a few decades ago, is that they start, like, the reason you see the streets so flooded is that the way they set up the storm drains was that to protect houses from flooding, they tried to make it so that if the, you know, the reservoirs, if everything got too full, the first thing that would fill up is the streets. That's very intentional. It's like they're planning, and then so they figure, basically the thought is, hey, if the streets fill with water for a couple of days and then it goes back down, we can fix it. Doesn't hurt anybody's house. Storm sewers are there. It's all something they can manage. So when they're considering this level and the speed of flooding, though, which is pretty unprecedented, they have to think, wait, if we tell people to get on the streets and then the streets flood, we've kind of led them into an ambush of sorts.
Right.
So it's kind of a no-win situation in terms of the evacuation, and to say the least of which is, like, you know, a lot of people just can't afford to evacuate and don't have anywhere to go.
I did not expect this. I did not. I was willing to take a bet that it was not, by the time it hit land, that it wasn't going to be more than a category two. That was my prediction. Did not expect this. This never seen. I have never seen a hurricane just stall in
no,
one place
it's
like
strange.
That.
I mean, I saw a tweet from the National Weather Service that basically said outcomes unpredictable right now. We're just waiting and watching. I mean, usually the National Weather Service, you know, you make jokes about the weather guys, but, you know, the technology is pretty incredible and they usually have a pretty decent guess of things, at least as they develop. And with this, they're watching and actively saying, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I've told this before. I don't know if I've told it in the podcast, but it was one of the most interesting stories. I was checking into a hotel. I was in Minneapolis. I was working at the beloved Acme Comedy mm-hmm. Company.
I know the hotel of which you speak. Unless it was a really long time ago.
And I was checking in, and right behind me were three guys with Weather Channel parkas on.
Oh.
And I looked at them. I go, "Are you guys really from the Weather Channel?" And they go, "Uh-huh." I go, "It's going to be a rough week, isn't it?"
Yeah, I was going to say.
You guys don't get to go anywhere where the weather's going to be nice. And I said, maybe I should call my wife and tell her I might not be back
as soon as
Sunday.
Yeah. Were you right?
Yeah, they were right. It was a huge snowstorm that week. Just measured in feet.
Yeah, yeah, one of those.
Yeah, one of those. But that's my experience. If you see the Weather Channel guys checking into a hotel, batten down the hatches.
Yeah, or move really far away.
Yeah, or evacuate. That's the sign to evacuate. When you see the Weather Channel vans coming in, yeah, that's the time to get out.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is for Houston. I mean, they're saying it could be $35 billion in property damage.
Yeah. Oh, easily.
I don't know. It's, on the lower end, yeah.
It's, you know, usually it's rare that the you look what happened with Sandy,
mm-hmm.
you know, Hurricane Sandy. That one kind of glanced New York, and when you hit a populated area like that, that's when the damage starts racking up. Usually, the hurricanes hit, you know, just beach communities, which a lot of money right there on the beach, but the you know, once you get past the $1 million condos, there's usually just swamp. But Houston, there's a lot of money in Houston. A lot of damage. A lot of basements going to be flooded.
There's almost no basements in Houston. Apparently, it's very difficult to build basements in Houston because of the flatness and the high water.
I was looking. I was thinking more about the buildings. I was thinking more of downtown Houston.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, like base, that type of base. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
The water is definitely creeping in there, and I've got to wonder about the comedy club there, the Joke Joint, which I've worked several times, which is near Hobby. Hobby Airport is under the runway is underwater, and so yeah, I wonder about the worry about the Reeds. I know they're okay in their house right now, but
Were you in Chicago when the last Chicago flood happened?
No, I remember it though. I came through kind of on the tail end and got rerouted through traffic, hours delayed.
Basically, what happened? There's a labyrinth underneath Chicago that everyone's kind of forgotten about, and it actually goes under the Chicago River. And they were putting in pilings, and they accidentally drilled into one of the tunnels.
Oh.
Well, the idea of the tunnel was to connect all the department stores together so that they wouldn't have to run service trucks up top, that they could actually move inventory from store to store and around via like a mine car.
Huh.
So what happened was, when they punched that, it filled up with water. And then, you know, in the basement of Marshall Fields, it's like, you know, that door that we always wondered where it went to? Well, it's leaking. And actually, all of the basements in downtown Chicago filled with water.
Oof.
Just, billions in inventory destroyed.
Oh, man.
It was actually the fifth worst disaster to ever hit Chicago. So
no kidding, I didn't know that. Wow. Well, this one's gonna set some grim records in Houston. So hopefully it abates. Hopefully it wraps up as soon as the segment.
And speaking of close enough.
And on the final segment of Rule of Three, we're going to be talking Game of Thrones finale. If you're some maniac who hasn't seen it yet, but really cares, it's like that's a small Venn diagram, beware of the next segment. There'll be some spoilers. But no spoilers in this unless you're unless you would consider it spoilers for the 2024 eclipse, I suppose.
Actually, the next one is 2019. I actually was curious. I looked that up. The next total eclipse will be 2019, and it will go over the South Pacific and not over a single island. Well, one island off the coast of Chile, and end near Buenos Aires.
Oh, well, 2024 is the next one visible in the U.S., and interestingly, it carves a kind of inverse path. So this one goes southwest to northeast. And the point at which the path of totality for this eclipse crosses the path of totality for the next one happens to be Carbondale, Illinois.
Wow.
So once more, Carbondale will be the place, I believe, of, I believe its greatest duration, again, in 2024. That will be a 4-minute long totality.
Wow. In Carbondale?
Yeah. They had it printed on the side of the glasses that you could, when you bought them.
Save for 2024.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if there's.
Well, that's
degrade.
That's kind of stupid.
Yeah, and if you're in the glasses selling industry, although
exactly, why would you print that on your glasses that you can use them again in 2024? It's I would say discard after using and put an expiration date on them.
Yeah, burn immediately. That was one of the kind of the big canards of the eclipse was that there was going to be this shortage of glasses and everyone's going to be scrambling for them. And you saw people trying to like a couple people try to set up little booths when the reality was like they were giving them away with pizzas at Quattro's Pizza. Like I probably had access to 10 different pairs of my own glasses.
I was in the dollar store a couple days ago and they had a big sign at the counter. We do not accept returns on eclipse glasses.
Oh, that's funny. First off, I don't think I buy my eclipse glasses at the dollar store. I think I'm going to go for the $3 glasses and make sure my retinas are okay.
Secondly, how cheap do you have to be to take anything back to the dollar store? It will cost you more in gas to drive to the dollar store than you're going to get in refund. But the sign wouldn't be there if people had not attempted it.
No, absolutely. There should be a giant sign up at the dollar store that says no returns, and then in parentheses underneath it, it's a dollar.
I would have medals printed up that say okay, we'll take this return, but you got to wear this medal the rest of the day, and it's like cheapest idiot of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
so you actually we didn't mention it last week because you didn't want people to know. You went to Carbondale for the eclipse.
Yeah, I left. I had to leave the house here empty for a few days, and because usually when I go somewhere, you know, or my wife goes somewhere, there's one or you know, us and our neighbors, and but everybody was going somewhere for the eclipse, and we were both gone, so we didn't want to leave the house totally unoccupied. But sure. Yeah, we went down to Carbondale.
Sure, just to fill people in, you know I know where you were. Yeah. I don't think the audience did.
Yes. And so I went down to Carbondale, Illinois, which is the center, basically the center of Canada near Carbondale was the point of greatest duration. My parents lived right down near there. So my wife and I stayed at a friend's house in Carbondale, which was the only way to do it. Well, the hotels were all full.
Sure.
And we stayed and
all
so
all the Airbnbs were sold out.
Oh yeah, my buddy rented his house 3 days, $2,000.
Wow.
So it wound up being a very fortuitous location for us because the main event, the part that you saw, that had at least CBS or ABC News was there, and NASA was at the football stadium, and you could buy tickets for $25 to the football stadium, and you got a shirt and a pair of glasses and a program, and they had like science guys explaining stuff beforehand, and you know, it was like the big group experience.
Wow, that's a little weird.
Yeah, it was sold out. It was completely sold out. It was the first time that stadium had ever been sold out. Thousands and thousands of people. It's true. It's 100% true. It was the first time the stadium's ever been sold out.
Oh, my gosh.
But here's the thing. Carbondale that day had patchy clouds. Pretty clear, but patchy clouds. We were on the north side of town, staying with some friends, and we had our glasses, and we were sitting out in the lawn watching it, and I said to our friends, you know, there's a pretty big cloud coming this way. And if the wind blows a little north, I have a bad feeling it's going to be over the sun during at least part of this totality thing. We'll see. And the cloud blew north-ish, but not quite that north. And it went right underneath it. And we got a perfect view of the full totality, completely obscured. However, if you were about a mile and a half away at the football stadium, where the thousands and thousands of people had gathered, one sort of Florida-shaped cloud sort of coasted over the eclipse and covered it for, I believe, like 2 minutes and 20 seconds of the 2 minute and 36 second totality.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I would have, had I been you, looking at you probably had the Weather Channel map open there on your phone, I'm guessing.
No, I was just physically looking up at the cloud, at the sky. They were so small and patchy, you know?
Yeah, oh, okay. I might have...
It literally depended on where you were in town and which town you were in. My parents were out on a lake and they saw it fine. We saw it perfectly fine a mile and some change away from the stadium.
Huh.
Like if I would have been at the stadium, I would have been tempted, because I like to run, I would have been tempted to just get a good jog going. I could have, you know, I could have been across town in 12 minutes.
Sure.
And then I had a perfect view. it was something to see, I will say. The partial eclipse is neat. It's something. You look through the glasses. When you look through the glasses, it's like, I assume most people probably did this if they got the chance. Everything's basically totally black, and you can see the sun is a white disc, and you can see how much of the shadow is carved out of it. It's neat. But,
sure.
But the totality, when you can take the glasses off and look at the thing with the naked eye and look around at the crazy colors in the sky and the 360-degree sunset, it really is something else. I would say... It's been slightly overstated by some people. You know, I fell to the ground weeping. It was the most beautiful thing. Okay. It's like, back it up. Back it up, science guy.
I think the only one that fell to the ground weeping during eclipse was back when they used to do human sacrifice during it.
Yes. Yeah. Or perhaps the rapper Lil Joey Badass, spelled with an at sign and two money dollar signs, who has had to postpone some tour dates because of the retinal damage he suffered from looking at the eclipse without glasses.
I did not see that story.
I believe he's a Chicago rapper. I believe he is a brethren of yours, like a fellow countryman. But it was great.
Well, where was he?
I don't know. I think he might have been in Chicago. Well, because you can't hurt your eyes from looking during totality. It's only when it's partial that it's so dangerous.
Well, because I looked at it.
Oh, sure. We had to look at it for quite a bit, too. Oh, I looked at it. I took my glasses off.
Well, no, but I'm in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, you could see. You saw the partial eclipse, right?
Yeah, and I was like, well, we're going to get 85%, so there's no sense in fighting traffic. We're going to get 85% coverage, so that's pretty good. 85% of, you know, 85% of anything you're pretty happy with, you know?
Yeah, normally, except for this, which, like, until it's down to, like, 1%, it basically just looks like the sun.
Yeah, exactly. You are exactly right. I did not. It's amazing how bright 15% of the sun still is. I tried looking at it when it was at its maximum. Could not glance at it for more than a millisecond before it hurt. So I don't know where he was that he actually was able to burn his retinas unless he was altered.
Well, or a lot of people, I guess, would wear sunglasses, which would enable you to look at it longer, but wouldn't protect you from the rays.
Nope. Tried it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great. I love that.
I tried that too. Anybody I was going around the house, I go, there's got to be something here that I can look directly at it through. Ooh, sunglasses. Nope.
Huh. No, nothing. That's the thing I took away from it, which was when even like 1 or 2% of the sun comes back, you're instantly like, whoa, I got to look away. that's intense.
Yeah. 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 I have no idea how you can actually hurt yourself. It's too bright to look at.
Yeah. And by the way, I think anybody who claims they didn't at least try glancing at it with a naked eye just for a super quick little peep is totally lying. That's the one time I ever made fun of the president. I was like, hey, if you would have taken enough pictures of me, you totally would have got pictures of me looking at that sun with no glasses on. Now, speaking of an eclipse, the segment has been eclipsed by the time limit, but we'll see you again for the next eclipse segment in 2024. And on the final segment of Rule of Three, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the finale of Game of Thrones for the penultimate season, we're going to talk about it. speaking of national phenomenon, everyone was staring at the eclipse and everyone was staring at Game of Thrones. In fact, the sort of second highlight of my trip back for the eclipse was going to my pal Chris's house. And because there was all these people in town for the eclipse, there were all these Game of Thrones refugees who all needed a place to watch the show and weren't in their spots.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there was he had a giant Game of Thrones viewing party in his basement for all these people from out of town who wanted to watch it.
Oh, wow. Fun.
It was great. We all sat on his basement, on mats on his basement floor, kind of cross-legged, you know, like kids watching Romper Room and, you know, hooted and hollered. And yeah, it was a very fun viewing my experience. My wife watched an episode of Game of Thrones she'd never done.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the only one she saw?
It's the only one she's ever seen.
Oh, wow. Did you have to explain to her anything, or did you just let her try to muddle through it?
Well, you know, she pointed out afterwards, she said that Game of Thrones is such a big cultural phenomenon that she's like, I kind of knew everything that was going on just by, you know, kind of between hearing me talk about it with friends and reading occasional things about it online. She was like, I was pretty, you know, she knew who the dragon lady was and who the bad people were. And she was, when Jamie came on, she's like, is that the incest guy? I was like, well, it's one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard suggestions to that something that was inevitable should not have been happening.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of knew by now that they were related to some degree or another, but I kind of, you know, it's funny.
How did you know they were related? I just heard it mentioned off on the off chance.
The scene in, they did a flashback scene. I think it was early in the season or late in last season where Bran sees what happened when Jon was born. And they strongly imply when she hands the baby over and whispers to Ned that she's telling him some secret. And that had long been a theory from the books that Ned would never cheat on his wife. That's a very un-Ned thing to do. But it's a very Ned thing to do to let everyone think you cheated on your wife and suffer for this nobility to save his sister's nobility. And so that was a kind of a theory floated in the books for a long time that then they hinted at yet again. That's when Gilly was reading the book to Sam and she was reading about the wedding. And he's like, you should stop reading that. He realized what she was reading.
Oh, okay.
So they had pretty strongly implied that Jon was a Targaryen. Especially say if you read if you're a book fan. So this kind of confirmed that. But some people who were upset.
Oh, so you read the book?
Yeah. The show is farther ahead of the books at this point. But that was a theory of book readers for a long time.
It's my understanding that the show is completely off book now.
Absolutely, it is. Yeah, absolutely. But it's still paying off things that are logical inevitabilities. You know.
Sure, sure. But it's why the dragon rescue from the rock was so stupid. It's my belief is that they've gone completely off the book. It's now being written by HBO writers rather than Martin.
Yes.
Who was a little more dedicated to making sure the plot holes were all filled.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think that show was at its best in the middle seasons, mid to later seasons, when they still had his source material to go off of, but they weren't being quite so slavish with it. Like their adaptation of his stuff was really strong. But yeah, I agree. There's. I mean, I liked that big. It was really fun to watch that next to last episode. But holy smokes, the kid running back to the wall, and then she shows up, and the timeline. I'm not looking for things to be wrong, but holy smokes, it was so obvious.
Well, it's actually from Eastwatch to Dragonstone is 1,000 miles.
Yeah.
So I don't know how far they had gotten when they finally ran into the White Walkers. So how far he had to run, but just sending a raven to Dragonstone and then a dragon back, that's 2,000 miles.
Yeah. And on top of it, like, it made it seem in the opening shots like they'd been walking forever. And then later they were like, we didn't really get that far.
Just circles. We've just been circling, walking around in circles.
It seems like there should have been a way they could have sort of done all that and still had it be a little more logical. But I was okay with that. I really liked the finale in that. The best scene, I just thought it was really interesting to see all those characters together in that meeting. It was like every character you followed who's lived for the most part, all sitting in a room together. It couldn't help but be fascinating.
Yeah, what was interesting to me is there's only four left. There's nine kingdoms, but there's only five out of the nine kingdoms are gone. That in itself should be reason for peace right there. It's like, you know.
Yeah, I've been paying attention to these last few years, and it doesn't seem like it's working out very well for any of us. But yeah, I did enjoy it. I thought the show has never looked more like a Led Zeppelin album cover than when the zombie shot the dragon fire to bring down the giant wall. It's like...
which goes back to the penultimate episode,
mm-hmm.
Where if Jon Snow had not gone to bring one of the dead,
mm-hmm.
to Cersei, they wouldn't have been able to take down that wall.
Yeah, it was very much a self.
Jon Snow
created his own problem.
Yeah, it just for stupid reason. Oh, look, Cersei, here's a dead guy. Oh, okay. Yeah, we're still gonna kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that certainly is a dead guy. Yeah, we're still gonna kill you. And by the way, now the White Walkers have a dragon, so you're an idiot.
Well, and super nerdy book detail, but in the book they've laid the groundwork for there's this thing like it's like there's some horn of Joramun or something. I don't know. It's got some silly name, but there's some horn that's supposed to be able to take down the wall with like magic or whatever. And so they've been laying the groundwork for that for a long time, and they never bothered laying the groundwork within the show. So I think that's a good example of, like you said, the HBO writers going, nah, we're going to do our own thing. And it not,
yeah,
it was
I'm
going
to take down that wall.
I mean,
well, we have to get a dragon north of the, I'm sorry.
Oh, it was neat looking though, right? I mean, it looked great. As silly
as
it was.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, gosh. No, it was fantastic. It was great to watch. But, you know, what I always liked about Game of Thrones was the fact that it was pretty airtight.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed, you know, except for the dragons, it could have been in the Middle Ages. I mean, it was the politics, and everything just followed exactly what actually went on in this country for 2,000 years.
Yeah, it had what the snooty writer term for it would be internal verisimilitude. But it did. It followed its own rules very closely and studiously. And so it, like you said, it was pretty airtight. Now, I had a thought about this yesterday morning, and I was thinking about what a massive phenomenon this was. Everyone's watching this finale. Everyone's now leaning into this, you know, the last season, which I think might not air until winter of next, not this winter, but next winter.
Because yeah, they're saying 2019.
Yeah, a year and a half from now. People are going to be at a crazed fever pitch for this. Martin's still at least 6 months to a year from having the new book out. There will be yet allegedly a seventh book after that to finish up the series. Can you conceive of a world where anyone cares, even if he finishes the books?
Yeah, I don't think he will finish the books. I think he's just gonna bounce away the rest of his life on his trampoline in his backyard.
I mean, I think you might be right. Because at this point, I don't think he's gonna finish the sixth one. And if he does, you know, it's been like 6 years between these two. Another 6 years, it'd be like 2025 when that thing finished up.
Yeah, and who cares? Who cares about how he thought the series should end?
Yeah, the end is going to be whatever we see first in most people's minds. I think
it's going. And from what I understand, he actually sat down with the writers, and the writers knew. He told the writers how it was going to end.
Right, but at this point,
they gave him a lot of pot, and they got him talking, and they took notes, and they said, "Okay, we have to find a quick way to get from here to there."
Right. But at this point, his book is going to feel like a fan fiction version of the show, of his own thing.
Yeah. Strangely.
It's very strange, isn't it? But, well, I guess after the 2024 eclipse, we can watch read the 2025 Game of Thrones conclusion. We'll be back way before that. We'll be back next week, though. And until then, you can see all the episodes on my website, brianmillercomedy.com, and at your website, yes? TimSlegel.com?
TimSlegel.com, at TimSlegel on Twitter. And like I said, want to hear your comments, want to know what you think.
Yep, leave us a review, and we'll see you next week.